now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to a Shout Out special. I'm Andy Shilton.
And in a moment, we'll be heading live to College Green.
Sorry, that completely threw me because I forgot to turn your microphone on. That was really professional, wasn't it? Never mind. Matthew Tosh is there with the Brixo Project. covering the World AIDS Day stuff. It's actually quite serious, to be honest.
In the studio, we talked to Bonnie Hole about the HIV as affecting a new demographic.
And Terry's going to be filling us in all about the history of HIV and AIDS. So.
All in the next hour.
I can't screw this jingle up. I really can't.
Very rare you fall over your tongue.
Well, we completely missed your name, so hello, Steph.
Well, you did miss my name because my mic was off.
I know. Oh. Yeah, sorry, I pushed the CD player up by accident instead.
Do I look like a CD player?
It does.
Don't answer that. Oh.
So, hello, Tara.
Hello.
Right, there has been, back to the serious issue, there's been a vigil on College Green from 6 o'clock, and we've had our roving reporter Matthew Tosh, who hopefully is with Holly Thiedem. I hope I pronounced that correctly. Polly Thiedem, sorry.
So I'm not the only one who's rubbish with names, then?
No. I should have been looking at the script, shouldn't I? Polly Thiedem, and she's of the Brigstow Project. Matthew, are you there?
I am indeed. Now, come on, you two. You need to get your technology sorted out because we
nothing
are
to do with
absolutely
it.
Freezing off here.
It's nothing to do with technology, trust me, Matthew.
I know.
Is Andy's tongue.
I must say, it has been, it's very, very cold here, but a very poignant and determined atmosphere. We've seen around about 150 to 160 people turn up. So what I only didn't realise this, it's the first vigil that we've had in the city centre. So just to describe what we've had, this is outside the cathedral on College Green. Quite a few candles have been lit and there's a whole array of little tea lights that have been set out in the shape of a ribbon on the grass. And people standing around very thoughtfully looking at this, chatting, talking about people and friends and loved ones that they've lost. And I am joined here, we're actually in shelter in my van, by Polly Thiedem, who is from the Brigstow Project, one of the organisers. Polly, good evening. Thanks for joining us on Shout Out. Can you just describe what you've had going here tonight?
Hi. Thanks for having me to start with. We have had a collection of speeches, really, in the city centre underneath a tree with some lights on it in front of the cathedral. And it's really for two main reasons, to remember those people that we've lost to HIV and to continue talking about it and challenging the stigma that we still hold on to, unfortunately.
And this has been the first one we've had in Bristol, so particularly important this year. And I gather you also had some support from the cathedral as well, some prayers going on.
Yeah, they've been absolutely fantastic, actually. So they've invited anyone who would like to go in to light a candle in remembrance of those people we've lost. And I think they've said a couple of prayers to close the ceremony as well. I've just had some chats with Nicola, who's the dean, and she's incredibly supportive of our cause.
I know on tonight's programme we're going to be talking about some of the charities that do support work, and for those that aren't aware about the Brigstow Project, it's a frontline responsive charity based in Bristol that provides confidential support, information and advice to people in and around Bristol living with or affected by HIV. Polly, just if people want to find out more information about the charity, where can they go?
Our website would be the first place, so that's www.brigstow.org. You can call us on 0117 955038, and we're also on Twitter or Facebook, so any of those ways.
Polly Thiedem, thank you very much for joining us on Shout Out. I'm going to hand us back to the studio now and go and find somewhere warm.
Thank you very much, Matthew. Go get yourself a cup of cocoa or something.
You're too kind.
So it sounds like a lovely vigil. So it's always a somber thing, isn't it? World AIDS Day.
It is. Yeah, well, for a good reason, I guess. We've got Terry, who's going to be giving us a little bit of the history of HIV AIDS later on.
Because it goes back, 40 years
yeah,
now?
Yeah.
And it's amazing how many people still to this day are not sure what it is or how you get it, and of course there's still big issues around
stigma. We've got somebody in from the Terence Higgins Trust talking about a completely new demographic that HIV/AIDS is hitting. So more about that later.
Cool. Well, it is World AIDS Day today. If you're listening live, if you're listening on one of our repeats, the 1st of December every year is World AIDS Day, and there are celebrations taking place across not only our country, but across the world as well. There's an awful lot going on, isn't there?
Yeah, so, it's very international.
Yeah. If you are unaware, the symbol for World AIDS Day is the red ribbon, which, of course, we've seen worn everywhere. It causes a few issues with people like the BBC not liking us wearing it, don't they? And the sports people get a bit funny about it. But
I think
most of us wear it. So I've got one at home. Yeah, Mary's proudly displaying hers at the moment in the corner of the studio.
And you're in red.
I'm in red, yes, I am. Yes. So, now, talking of events, though, we can't just stick on today because, of course, on Chatter, we'd like to tell you what else is going on in the future. So are you ready, Tara?
Yeah.
Shall we? It's freezing cold. Please tell me you got some nice warm events.
Look, I'm wrapped up, well and truly wrapped up. Yeah.
So, it was -4 this morning. It was a tad chilly, wasn't it?
Yeah, my car windscreen wipers wouldn't work.
Our local pond was frozen over.
Yes. Yeah. I had some friends who live out past Bath, out almost towards Chippenham, and they said it was -7, -8 this morning when they got out to go defrost their car. Yeah. So. Yeah.
It's all indoors. Don't worry.
Oh, is
everything
it?
Is all indoors.
So what are we talking about this week?
So I've got I start off with Don't Tell Your Mother, which is an event on Saturday at the Phoenix, and they're supporting the Terence Higgins Trust and Bridgestone. So all the money goes to. I thought it was a quite good link.
Yes, well done.
I do try sometimes. You know,
what kind of event is it? It's a music event.
It's a music event of Phoenix Bar. So it's a DJ night, and there's 5 DJs playing, and it's a range of music.
Gosh, 5 of them.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be quite a good night out. Mm. So
I have a funny feeling that's Mike Pony and co.
Lloyd Tron, Electronic Nick, Mr. Morgan and Sister Please.
Yeah. That's the DJ, isn't it?
Yep. And it's R&B, indie, electro, great pop, dance and 80s and 90s.
Very popular. Well worth going to.
Yeah.
And that's on this Saturday, isn't
it? Yeah, and it's £5 at the door. So that's quite good. And it all goes to charity. So it's all Terence and Tiggins Trust and Bridgestone. So that's, and you can find that on Facebook if you want to have a look. Next, we've got the beer bar. So the beer bar this weekend is the Beer Nation.
High Bear Nation.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the winter equivalent of the Bear Fiesta.
Yeah.
I do remember back in the summer, this lovely old couple walked into the Old Market Tavern and said, "We're here for the Beer Fiesta."
No, it's the Bear Fiesta.
So, but yes, this is the winter equivalent. So, so I believe they've got shops and all sorts going on.
Starts on Friday. Yeah. Friday at 7 p.m. There's the beer market. There's the beer bar opens up, and meet and greet. There's then DJ Jaji with a pop and cheese on the Friday night. On the Saturday, there's a Hartzak Limited.
Hartzak, yes, they make the t-shirts.
Yeah, they
do some very funny t-shirts actually.
So
I won't say on air because I'm a little bit too rude for it, but they're really good. Actually.
So that's on at 3 p.m. on the beer bar, and then there's Harness and Fetish Dance Club at 7 p.m. Apparently there's no dress code, it says. So,
well, I would imagine harnesses. It's called harness.
I think the hint's in the title.
Yeah.
Is that the Friday or the Saturday?
That's
harness?
The Saturday. That's Saturday at 7 p.m.
Because I know that at the same time over the road, Swarm, Southwest Rotherham, are having their Christmas party.
At the Phoenix?
At the Gin Palace, yes.
Yep.
So it's going to be a weekend full
it's
of
quite
events
full on
in Old
this
weekend.
This yeah, weekend. Exactly. Yeah. So, and then on Sunday at 5 p.m. there's Raven Light, and then there's a fetish social for the evening. Yeah, so there's a followed by Boogie Nights, Extra, 70s, 80s dance. So lots of dancing this weekend,
and lots of fetish stuff going on as well. By the sound of it,
yes. The bear events do sometimes cross over with them, so it's quite cool.
And just for a balance, Indigo of the Espionage on Saturday night.
So, okay.
There's very limited knowledge about it. You've got to buy the ticket, and then you're going to
tar, and they want to notice.
No, exactly. So I think you know. So I think that's going to be well worth it. Previous years have been really good as well.
Yeah, so, yeah, they've had some very good ones.
And I've seen the photographs as well.
Wasn't one of their ones called Blackout? That was a really successful one.
So yeah,
well, they had air raid sirens go off and all sorts. So, yeah, very popular. So well worth doing. So is that this weekend as well?
That is this weekend as well. And I thought that was quite a good balance between everything that was going on, to be honest. Cool. For everyone.
Cool.
You know, and that was me, to be honest.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Tara.
Right, thank you.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
I'm never going to live that down.
Which bit?
He made me play Celine Dion on Shout Out.
What's wrong with Celine Dion?
My husband is never going to talk to me again.
Well, you might think that's a positive then.
Carl's not a fan of the Miss Dion.
There aren't many people I know who are. I won't lie, I do like it, to be honest. But
that's a lovely song.
It is a very nice song.
I can remember her when she won Eurovision for Switzerland. Do you remember that?
No.
She did.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Do you know what the song was?
Ne pète pas sans moi, I think it was.
That was stupid asking him if he knew. Of course he knows.
1987 or 88, something like that.
Where do you store all this, Terry? Have you got like gigabytes stored somewhere you just plug into?
I go home and actually upload myself to an old ZX81 computer.
Oh, yes, now I remember them.
Younger people won't know what on earth we're talking about.
No.
ZX81 with 1 kilobyte of data.
Yes.
Wow. Yep. Those were the days.
So most commonly found in washing machines until about 5-10 years ago.
Were they still using the processors?
Yeah. If you had one with a dial that used to turn itself around automatically, they were either Z80 or Z81.
Well, that's why they were so slow.
Absolutely nothing to do with today's show.
Absolutely not.
So is it you running a Z81 then?
No, the kids did. The kids ran on them. We programmed the kids.
Yeah. You missed that joke totally.
Yes. No, I was trying to deflect.
Deflect. And deflect very well you did.
Thank you, Terry.
Anyway, the point is, whenever we need someone to ask questions about who's a fountain of knowledge, the first thing we do is say, let's put Terry out of the air. So, and of course, today's show. Well, we often bring you in as our kind of like expert, don't we? Of course, today's show is all about HIV and AIDS.
Yeah,
which
AIDS
actually, you know, is. I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of things like the stigma that's around today and how it is today. But we were kind of hoping that we could talk to you about the history of it.
Oh right, yes.
So, I mean, do we know things like when the first diagnosed case of it actually was? Now,
the way it came through, I mean, it sort of like it happened in sort of dribs and drabs, and only by looking back later can you sort of say, well, these were the early cases of what we now call HIV or acquired immune deficiency syndrome.
Because they genuinely didn't know what it was, did they? They thought it was some kind of flu or something.
Well, you see, about 1977, there was something on the streets of New York that they called junkie pneumonia because it affected intravenous drug users, you see, and a number died. And it's only later on that that was traced back to being HIV and AIDS. And then in about 1981, doctors began to notice that that gay men in big urban centres like New York and San Francisco and Palm Springs and so on were getting ill with diseases which shouldn't really have affected young, virile, healthy men in their 30s and 40s. Diseases of cattle, birds, and things like this were just dying off because their immune system was so suppressed and compromised. And
is that around the kind of time? Because it did get called GRIDS for a while, gay related immune deficiency.
Absolutely,
syndrome.
Which of course just fueled homophobia and sort of set the gay rights calls back quite considerably. And indeed, the 1980s. If you think about what was happening politically, there was a sort of swing to the right in the United States with the election of Ronald Reagan, and Britain had Mrs. Thatcher. Mrs. Thatcher was less kind of socially conservative, but many of the people around her, you know, were not terribly friendly towards LGBT people. So when this thing called GRIDS happened, gay-related immune deficiency, as they called it at first, they, you know, that kind of fueled the homophobia. I think in about 1983, ITV had a programme called Where There's Life with Dr. Miriam Stoppard.
Oh, I remember that.
Do you remember
series.
That programme? Yeah. They did the sort of one of the first features called The Killer in the Village. They went to, it sounds very ominous, doesn't it? And Doom Laden.
It
was at the time. And I think for younger people, it's very difficult for them to kind of appreciate how hard the gay male community in particular in the United States was hit. You know, the States doesn't have healthcare insurance even today. You know, yeah. You've got Obamacare and things like that. But
back in this time, there was nothing. I mean, the first things that they tried to treat HIV with, which we should point out isn't gay-related, it can affect absolutely anyone.
Absolutely, and that's why the acronym was changed to AIDS, which stood for Acquired Immune Deficiency Syndrome.
Yeah, which is not the bit you cover. We'll come to that in a minute. Sure. But the first ever treatments that they tried were actually cancer drugs.
Yes, they were. They? Things like AZT and
didn't work at all.
Made people just as ill as the symptoms themselves were making them. But, you know, at the time, I think it's not unfair to say it was a death sentence, although there are a significant minority of people who contracted HIV during the early 1980s that are still with us today. Yes. They're called long-term non-progressors, I think is the phrase.
Right.
And that is, it's never developed into massive immune suppression, but they've carried the virus for all that time.
Do you remember because you presented it with me, we did an After Dark, Shout Out After Dark, which is our secondary show, and we were talking about it, and they were saying that there were a lot of people that suffered a lot of mental health issues because they were like, why not me? Why have all my friends...
Survivor syndrome.
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
Absolutely.
And you did have things like they portrayed with Russell Tovey in the movie Pride, where they had goodbye parties.
Yes.
Before they got so ill they couldn't go out, they would go and have a last blast on town.
Yeah.
Of course, it's not something we think about these days because doesn't happen.
Because, but. I mean, the good news is that in 1995-96, what was then called highly active antiretroviral therapies came in. They used combinations of drugs to suppress the HIV, and all of a sudden, in the Western world anyway, this is not the case for sub-Saharan Africa where HIV/AIDS is still a major killer, but in the Western world where there's government funding and national health services and so on, the death rate really fell back a long, long way. And gradually the nature of the terrain of HIV has changed. So today it's considered more like a long-term condition such as diabetes, cancer, things like that, that you can live with and have a normal lifespan if you're on the right treatment. And that, of course, has raised lots of other issues such as going back to work, you know, getting off of benefits and getting into the workplace and so on. And
yes, so I do remember towards the end of the 90s having a few friends I knew who were HIV and they'd been off work permanently off, assumed to be for the rest of their life. And then retroviral drugs came around and they suddenly had to think about going back to work and how to explain the fact that they've been off for so many years and the like. So, now, very quickly, to explain, correct me if I'm wrong explaining this, but a lot of people still today don't understand the difference between HIV and AIDS.
Yes.
And HIV is the actual virus that itself doesn't particularly do any... It certainly doesn't give you many symptoms anyway.
No.
But it destroys the white cells in your blood, which is what would normally attack all the other viruses and bacteria that you get.
Over a long period of time, it runs down the immune system so that you become...
And then that's where the acquired part of AIDS comes in. You acquire lots of other ones, lots of other secondary infections.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's that usually kills you.
Yes, that's right. But, I mean, obviously, we don't even speak of AIDS very much in the West anymore because people really don't often die of it, you know.
No, but it is very worth pointing out that it's very important to get diagnosed and get on medication
quickly. Get early. There's a lot of people with HIV that don't know they're positive and would benefit from
treatment. And that's
treatment.
The point when you're usually the most infectious
Indeed,
as well.
Absolutely.
It's when you don't know and you've just been infectious,
that's right.
You become extremely highly infectious to other people. So
that's right.
They reckon if everybody got tested regularly, we could practically wipe out HIV.
So I understand. understand, yeah. So, I mean, some experts say that with the right funding, with the right treatment, and with the right attitude from the public, we could live in a post, a post-HIV, post-AIDS world. But unfortunately, we're not quite there yet.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of developments going on. As I've mentioned before on previous shout-outs, we do have a shout-out After Dark special we did on the drug PrEP, where we spoke to many people about it. It's well worth having a listen. Obviously, things have moved on a bit at the NHS. Just having the whole debate over it now, which the show we did was pre that.
That's right.
But it's well worth finding out. So now, stay with us, because Terry, I'm going to want you to read the news in a minute.
Okay.
We're going to have a song before that. And later on, we're actually going to be talking to THT themselves. Stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Are you going to say what that is?
For Rent.
Was?
Yeah, the cast of Rent, the movie. Where are you going with this?
I don't know.
He's changed our news jingle.
Yeah. It's on the end of that song.
Is it?
I just didn't do anything.
Get a grip with you. Control those fingers of yours, Andy.
Shall I stop it? I have no idea what that is. I'm assuming it's another bit of Rent.
You've all seen Rent, haven't you, the movie? Oh, he's crying.
No, actually, I haven't. I haven't.
You're kidding me, Andy.
No, genuinely haven't. No, I know a lot of the music. I've sung it on stage. We won't go there.
It's absolutely lush. I cry every time.
Anyway, should we get some news headlines?
I think we may.
This is Shout Out News on World AIDS Day, Thursday the 1st of December.
Over 650 people have signed a petition to save the LGBT youth charity 2BU after members were told it would lose funding from Somerset County Council in March 2017. Youth MP Kira Lewis brought the case to the council chamber, and the petition has now received the support of councillors John Osman, Francis Nicholson and the MP Rebecca Powell, who represents Taunton Deane.
It's the first World AIDS Day in the era of President Trump and Pence, says J.D. Davies, writing for the US-based HIV portal TheBody.com. Within hours of the election results, HIV groups joined with other organisations, such as anti-racist campaigns, Jewish groups and women's networks, to form ALERT, which stands for Activist-Led Emergency Response Team. In a wide-ranging essay for The Body, J.D. Davies, who is also a board member for the group Jews for Economic Justice, looks at the history of the HIV activist movement and how it was born out of a period of social conservatism and outright homophobia, and the ways in which it transformed the political landscape with lessons that can be learned for today. We've popped a link to the essay on our website and invite you to have a look.
The gay and straight fetish community have expressed sadness that one of the capital's best-known men's fetish venues, The Hoist, is to close down on December the 11th, bringing to an end 21 years of serving the leather, fetish, skinhead and military scenes in the UK. In a statement to the news hub Gay Star News, the proprietors confirmed that they were leaving at the top of their game and said that the business continued to be profitable and enjoyable. However, some people felt that London's fetish scene is less than friendly to outsiders and suffers from an antipathy towards larger people, femme people, and those whose fetishists are not masculine conformists. Such people have found more solace by visiting Bristol and the West Country, where fetish nights such as Raven and Gear have established themselves as accepting of difference and welcoming of newcomers.
One of the most implacable opponents of any form of LGBT or women's equality in Parliament is Sammy Wilson, the Democratic Unionist Party MP for East Antrim. In a rude letter to a constituent submitted on the subject of endorsing World AIDS Day this year, Wilson ranted that AIDS was the result of lifestyle choices and made the incorrect assumption that funding for HIV prevention took money away from people with other conditions such as mental illness or cancer. The Social Democratic MP Claire Hannah told ITV, HIV is certainly not a lifestyle choice, but for Sammy Wilson, World AIDS Day is just another opportunity for a mean kick and a cheap headline.
There are strange comments afoot on the gay newswire Pink News this week after it reported on the case of a school in East London which has installed a gender-neutral toilet space on its premises, something which has divided parents. What has surprised trans activists, however, is the amount of anti-trans commentary plastered over the comments threads by people claiming to be LGBT conservatives who supported Trump and Brexit. So far, the story has attracted nearly 300 comments, more than for any other story on Pink News over the last few weeks. Visit our website if you want to get involved in the debate and have your say.
Janet Street Porter has used her column in the I newspaper to lobby for women's and gay equality over recent years. Earlier in 2016, she looked at the future of reproduction and infuriated heterosexual supremacists by advocating for using technology to allow older women, single women, and same-sex couples to reproduce independently. This last weekend, she also blasted the police, saying that errors and omissions had allowed crimes committed by predators on phone apps like Grindr to go on with only summary investigation. Digital Spy this week reports with satisfaction that Ms. Street Porter is also handy with her handbag to back up her robust persona. Speaking on ITV's Loose Women, Janet revealed that she had whacked a fellow journalist over the head over a nasty attack on her written in a national paper. Now, there must be many LGBT people who wish they could do the same to homophobic journalists.
Well done, Janet. And finally, we're now in the first week of Advent, which marks the official Christian start of preparations for Christmas. So we extend our warmest seasonal greetings to LGBT Christians, whether in the Catholic, Church of England, Methodist, or indeed any other denomination. If you fancy exploring your Christian side but are wary of the curse of homophobia in some denominations, then never forget that Bath's Metropolitan Community Church has been ministering to the needs of the diverse LGBTQ communities since the 70s. We are marking World AIDS Day this week and have a regular Sunday series of services throughout December, culminating with the traditional lessons and carols on the 18th. Follow the link at our website for more details.
For these news stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Ella Watts.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
This year, the Shout Out Listeners Awards are returning, and they're bigger than ever.
Ending with a massive awards ceremony and after party.
The awards are your chance to tell us who you think is the best of the best.
With categories covering everything from best dining experience to best support group or organisation.
From best drag artist to best festival.
Plus, our most prestigious award, the Local Hero of the Year, is back too.
Vote.
And that's the title. Bruce Springsteen, The Streets of Philadelphia. Very sad.
Very sad?
But poignant.
Oh, right.
Poignant. Yeah, sad movie. Have you seen that movie?
You like that song, don't you?
I do, yes.
You're a Bruce Springsteen fan, are you?
Not really, no.
No? But are you that song?
Yeah.
It's probably the movie, isn't it?
It's the film.
Yeah.
So which film's it from?
Yeah.
Philadelphia.
Oh, right. Okay.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
He actually lost the weight, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Which was incredible, because that was an awful lot of weight to lose when he was in that.
Yeah, that's right.
We got Bonnie Holt and Karen, the service user from Terence Higgins Trust, in the studio. Now, did you get over to the vigil?
Yes, I just made it over. Yes, I did.
Right. It was cold, I hear.
It was absolutely freezing.
So was it good, though?
It was lovely. Yeah. It was very emotional.
You may not have heard it because you were outside in the green room. We had Matthew earlier, and he said that they'd lay candles in the shape of the ribbon. And apparently the cathedral there were offering prayers as well, which is very nice.
That's nice.
Really nice.
I like that as well, because there was a time when we were very, you know, there was a big kind of wedge between the LGBT community and religion. It's nice to see that that's not so.
Well, not in all circumstances, but it's nice in Bristol.
And the
church bells rang.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
You don't hear that very often, actually, when that one. It's a big one up the top of Bart Street that rings.
That's Great George.
Yes.
And the Wills Memorial. Yes. That's Matthew's bell. That's Matthew who owns that one. Matthew Tosh. Our Matthew Tosh. He was at the vigil.
Oh, right.
Do you remember Matthew?
Yes.
He called in earlier.
Yes, I know, yes.
back to the serious point. Terence Higgins Trust. I think most of us know what the Terence Higgins Trust does. But what interests me most is that there seems to be a new demographic on the block that is now contracting HIV.
Mm.
Can you tell us about that and explain?
It's changed quite a lot over the last couple of years. Numbers are still going up very much. Also, in
is some of that because we're getting better at going and getting tested, though? Is it just still growing, the numbers?
The numbers are going up every year. In 2014, there was over 6,000 newly diagnosed people living in the UK, and that was the highest recorded, with over 3,000 of those being men that have sex with men, which, you know, the education is still not getting out there. And also chemsex. There's a lot of chemsex.
Can you
parties.
Explain that?
Oh, it's parties where people go to have sex and...
Use drugs.
Use drugs.
I presume you usually illegal drugs. And,
yes.
Is the issue because is the issue that the drugs itself, are they like needle injected, or is it because they're having the unprotected sex? Is there
both?
Right.
Slamming and having unprotected sex. So... So that's kind of on the increase now.
But there's another half, because that was 6,000, odd you said, and 3,000 are gay men. But
over 3,000 were gay men.
Yeah, so yeah. What's the other demographic?
Well, I mean, we've been seeing a rise in heterosexual sex for a long time. And I'm seeing a lot of people that are older, newly diagnosed, over maybe menopausal age for women, for example. People aren't thinking that they will get HIV because they're not black African or because they're not a gay man. People seem to think
it is a very common myth that you have to be gay and male to I mean, we talked to Terry earlier. Originally it was called GRIDS for a little bit.
That's right, gay related.
Of course we know it's not true. It can and it, you can anyone can be affected by it, can't they?
That's right. Yeah.
So this new demographic you're talking about. So it's women of a certain age who have probably their relationships have folded and they're into their later years.
Yeah, they may have come out of long term relationships. They've gone through the menopause and not thinking about taking a pill. They're not thinking about using condoms.
No, I'm probably not even thinking HIV. In fact,
I'm not even thinking HIV. In fact, yeah, you're right. It, like I said, it can affect anybody at any time if you're going into relationships and not having safe sex, as in using a condom. That's the only thing that will stop HIV if you're having unsafe sex with somebody else. And that's why I always say it's very important if you're going into a new relationship and you've both had sexual partners and had unprotected sex in the past, it's better to come in and have an HIV test and have other STI tests than it is not to know.
Well, this is one of the things that we were talking to Terry about, because, of course, when you first contract HIV is when you're the most infectious, isn't it? I mean, it's very rare once people are on the medication that they actually pass it on. There are well-known cases where I forget the exact term, but where one's positive and one's negative, where they don't contract it. The negative person doesn't contract it. Yeah. So, you know, which is why they keep saying getting tested is important. Yeah. It's really important. So, I mean, is it just a lack of knowledge that's causing the issue, especially if it's hitting women of that demographic?
It's a lack of knowledge. It's a lack of education. People, when I go out and do a lot of talks and training, people say HIV, that's not here, is it? It only affects, like I said, third world countries or gay men. And I say, well, yeah, that's why I'm here, because it is affecting, you know, heterosexual men and women, and men that have sex with men are, you know, not testing.
So what does I know, because I mean I'm married, but we still regularly get tested anyway. It's one of those things we kind of grew up knowing that you just go do every now and again.
Yeah.
Not just for HIV. I mean the tests
STIs,
cover lots and lots of them. There are some that you don't even have to have the sex to pass on. For an HIV test, for those that are listening that may not know, and this may be the first time they're going, oh, I'm in a demographic where this might actually affect me. What does an HIV test involve?
So Terence Higgins Trust on a Monday evening do HIV tests that just involve having a finger prick test. And obviously we always say to people, make sure that you are over the 12-week window period. Otherwise, it means that you may have to come back and have another test.
12 weeks, so from the time you think you, from when you last had them.
Unprotected sex.
Right, okay.
From the time that you think that you were last.
Or have them every 12
or
weeks.
Or have them. So we encourage people to come and, to have that. And so it's just a finger prick test, and you will know within 20 minutes if you need to be fast-tracked to the HIV clinic to have the full scan,
which is more invasive,
taking out the vein, kind of.
20 minutes is a lot less to wait, because I do remember when I was 18, and, of course, it was a little bit difficult. I'm going back 20 years here, but I remember being terrified at the thought of waiting. It used to be a good couple of weeks, and you'd sit there and you'd be so nervous. Yeah. And I do remember it even putting me off. So if it's down to 20 minutes, that's quite fascinating.
A couple of weeks ago, we went International Testing Week, and I invited some local councillors to come in.
Yes, I saw that. That made all the press, didn't it?
Yeah, it did make the press, to promote it, to show that, And I said to each of the councillors, it would be really good if you actually have an HIV test, if obviously you have like a private consultation before you actually have the HIV test itself, because then you will understand how nervous you get just waiting those 20 minutes for that test to come through. And and one of them actually said, my God, I really sat and I really thought, what if? But
you're doing the right thing.
You are doing the right thing.
Now, we've got also a service user, Karen, in the studio. Tell us your story, Karen.
Well, I went to Africa 20 years ago for 3 months, and I'd been free of drugs, alcohol, sex, tobacco and meat for a whole year, and decided to treat myself. And so I was in Africa for 3 months, and had unprotected sex, and also shared needles. And I got back on June the 1st, 97, and went straight for a test because I knew I'd been really stupid. And sure enough, it came back positive, although I did have 2 weeks to wait.
But I'm betting you're still glad you did it, though.
Oh, yeah, because that meant I could look after myself, and I knew that I could protect other people as well.
Mm. How long now is it you've been?
It'll be 20 years in June. Mm.
So what's the biggest issue? I have a feeling I know how you're going to answer this, but what's the biggest issue you come across when people find out you're HIV at the moment? Are you still? I'm asking about the stigma.
Yeah, stigma and discrimination is huge, but I consider it an excellent filter, because the people that do run away from me now, I think, well, thank goodness you're not my friend. I don't need people like that around me. Although when I was first diagnosed, I wouldn't have that attitude. I felt really filthy and carrying this dirty secret around with me, and I tried to tell a couple of people that I thought I could trust, and within 5 or 10 minutes they disappeared. So I learned through experience not to tell anyone, and so I kept it to myself for a long time, apart from my family. I told my family, who were excellent, very supportive.
I was just going to ask, how have things changed with the... Because the treatments have come a long way in 20 years, haven't they? How were they when you first started on them, and how are they now?
I didn't need treatment for the first 12 years.
Oh, wow. Gosh.
Yeah. But then I got ill. I had TB, and it just went down and down and down, and I didn't even know I had TB at the time. It was in 2009 that I started 2008 I started taking the HIV antiretrovirals, but in 2009 they discovered it was TB. And it made me really sick for the first few weeks. But once my body was used to it and accepted the drugs, my my CD4 count went high, up, thank goodness. And it's now over 600. So I'm quite lucky. I'm thriving well.
Well, I'm going to say, I mean, you look perfectly healthy to us, but then we know that the stigma is a silly thing anyway. So, listen, I want to talk about it more, but we're
running out
way
of time.
Rapidly running out of time. THT do a wonderful job. We know things are going on in Old Market. You're moving away, but the service isn't disappearing, is it? You're just moving premises at the moment.
We're just moving premises. Yeah, we're still going to be there.
Cool. Now, if anyone wants to find out more, they're perhaps interested in having a chat in confidence about it, if they're a little bit nervous or anything, what's the best way to get hold of you?
You can ring us on 01179 551000, or you can email on the Terence Higgins Trust website, and we will get straight back to you.
I believe that's tht.org.uk, yes. Isn't it? So, brilliant. Listen, it's been lovely talking to you. Thank you so much for coming in, especially on World's Day, World AIDS Day as well. It's brilliant. So, now, listen, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute. I can't
see the face. The Shout Out Podcast. Of my
mind. Oh, that was off air. I wanted to hear more about that story. That was It's quite a moving one.
Yeah. Harry Nilsson, this one.
Yeah,
everybody's talking. From the movie Midnight Cowboy. Yeah, another sad movie.
Yeah. So you do pick them, don't you?
Well, it was appropriate. It was appropriate to the show.
Was it?
Yeah. It was quite a sad day, really, as of thinking about all those that have died of HIV/AIDS.
Yeah.
You know, it sort of hits you, doesn't it, every year when it's put in front of your face.
Yeah, I'm the kind of generation that was just post that. I've got some friends who were the generation above me, and they do remember losing a lot of friends. I've in my lifetime only known two, I think. So it's good. It means that, you know, the drugs are there, and which is what we were talking about with the whole stigma side of it. It is not worth it. So do some research and see what you can find out, because the drugs just work. You can live with HIV. It's okay. So anyway, that is all we have time for, I'm afraid.
If you want to listen again, you can catch the repeat at midnight on BCFM, or go to shoutoutradio.lgbt for the podcast.
Please also follow us on Twitter, Facebook, as always, all the links are on the website.
Next week, Ivan is with the folks at the LA LGBT Plus Centre.
Until then, though, take care, have a safe week.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.